Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a Tuesday morning, the last day of the year, and I just have to be the first one to say this to you.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
We're starting a new drinking game here on the Mark Cox Morning Show, so prepare yourself. Every time you hear a forecaster use the words polar vortex in the next 24 hours, you have to drink. Now, if you want to limit that to once you get to your New Year's Eve party tonight, I'm fine with that. It's coming. Those words that we've looked so forward to, it's a polar vortex.
How cold are they really thinking it's going to get?
I don't know.
Like, what is considered a polar vortex?
It's wintertime. It's an extended blowing of wind from the north, apparently. How that works. It's going to continue to blow in from the north until such time as we're all dead. Don't you think? I sound like Ron Burgundy when I say that. What is diversity?
What in the hell's diversity?
Well, I could be wrong, but I believe diversity is an old, old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Yeah, it's coming. Let's just put it that way. The polar vortex is on its way. So I assume it gets here starting sometime after tomorrow into the weekend, but I think the greatest chance for snow or sleet or whatever might come with it is that it might last till through the end of January. That's what makes it a polar. It's a vortex. Like, it's just going to dip down all the way to Florida, and then it's just going to be cold for an extended period of time. Have I explained that adequately?
Well, these trigger words that they use sometimes just are hilarious. And they freak everybody out.
That's kind of the point. You're going to be
Snowmageddon. Remember
it's
that?
It's going to be Snowmageddon. It's January. It's almost January. Let me back up a little bit. We're just a few hours away from January. The fact that we haven't already had temperatures at or below zero is pretty amazing. To be honest with you, I'm a big fan of global warming. But in the meantime, we're going to have to put up with a little bit of that. It looks like over the next few weeks. We got lots to get to. John Lamping at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, my friend Mark Walters. Maybe we'll talk to him about the fact, Kim, that we have solved the problem with people walking into the street and firing their guns off at midnight this year. Did you know that? The legislature has solved that problem.
How so?
They've made it illegal.
What? Then no one will do it.
Why didn't they do this years ago? There's now an ordinance that says you can be charged if you take your handgun outside and fire it into the air.
Well, I think that'll go well, because think about the fact that no one murders because it's illegal.
I know.
Right?
I know. I mean,
very effective.
It's just, why is it taking them so long to reach this conclusion that this is going to make some sort of a difference? It's stupid. Shooting lead into the air because of a thing called gravity is really dumb, but it happens every New Year's Eve and sometimes on the 4th of July. I don't know why people do it. Buy some firecrackers or something. I mean, for God's sake, if you need to hear an explosion, go buy some fireworks. I don't get it, but we'll talk to our friend Mark Walters about that at about 7:37. In the meantime, Carl, we need to get to this morning's top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He wrote letters, and I know about this, to all of our allies and to Arab states, asking them to abandon their cooperation and coalition with the United States of America. If it's not treasonous, it's borderline.
Scott Jennings yesterday bringing some truth on Jimmy Carter. I mean, the The tributes to him have been long and torturous, I should say. But the bottom line was he dabbled in American foreign policy after he was president in ways that weren't in our best interest or the best interest of our ally, Israel.
My message to my younger self would just be like, you know who you are, you know, and please embrace that.
That is Ellen Page. Now goes by the name Elliot for some odd reason, thinks she's a boy, and is trying to tell all other young children that if they think they could jump off the roof of the building and fly, they should go do it. No, that's not what she said. She said, if you think you're transgender, you should trust yourself. Same thing.
I'm really humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for Speaker again. He and I work so well together, so closely together, and we have a lot of big things to do.
Yep, Speaker Johnson, boy, he got the big Trump endorsement there because art of the deal. Folks, if you want to get anything done in Washington, D.C., you need to have an intact House of Representatives with Republican leadership when Donald Trump gets sworn in on the 20th.
No. The idea that this was the most underreported story of 2024, it was the most underreported story of 23, 22, 21, and 2020. Joe Biden is the only president in history who makes the sign language interpreter shrug.
Jimmy Failla bringing some truth on Fox yesterday, talking about what the news media, Kim, has determined was the biggest story of 2024. And it's a joke. It is a joke that we have people like Jan Crawford now admitting over on CBS that, you know, we really made a grievous error here as network journalists for not taking his dementia more seriously. Listen to this.
It's starting to emerge now that his advisors kind of managed his limitations. It's been reported in the Wall Street Journal for 4 years. And yet he insisted that he could still run for president. We should have much more forcefully questioned whether he was fit for office for another 4 years.
You think?
Which could have led to a primary for the Democrats. It could have changed the scope of the entire election.
If we had just done our jobs, we might have helped Democrats get elected. That in effect is what she's saying there.
Absolutely.
Because we didn't bring this out sooner and force Joe out of the presidency before the July, it's our fault that Kamala Harris lost. They could have actually had a real primary, which several Democrats were screaming for at the top of their lungs. And like Jimmy Failla said, it was the most underreported story in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2024. But only now has Jan Crawford and the media gotten it. Only now.
To Jimmy Failla's point, anyone who wants to become a sign language interpreter, is that what they're called?
Yes.
They should have to listen to a Joe Biden speech and interpret it as a test to see if they can roll with the punches. Because if you can do that, if you can cover one of his and figure out a way to interpret that, you could do anything.
Well, it's just pathetic. And as Kennedy pointed out yesterday, if you were watching her on some of the Fox News coverage, and I love Kennedy. I think she's one of the wittiest people that they have up there. She said, listen, Jan Crawford is now red-pilled at CBS. They might fire her from the network for daring to suggest that they didn't do their jobs.
Jan Crawford is not going to be popular at the CBS New Year's Eve party. Let me tell you that right now. She has been red-pilled. And my question is, hey, Jan, what took you so long?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the evidence was there. There were a lot of us talking about all of this for years and years and years, you know, before 2020, saying, well, it was pretty obvious why Obama didn't pick Biden to be his successor in 2016 because he didn't think he was up for the job.
Yeah, thank you.
Has she really been red-pilled, or is she just saying that, Jan just saying that because she wanted to primary Biden, and then that would have bettered their chances of
maybe
a Democrat having won the office? I that's my thought.
It's possible, but you can bet that there's some uncomfortable feelings at CBS with her admitting to their error because they clearly dropped the ball. All of them did. CNN, ABC, NBC, all of them dropped the ball. All right. So besides that, Joe Biden's dementia, what do you think the biggest stories were of 2024? Kim and I are going to kick that around nationally. We're going to kick that around when we come back. Stay tuned.
Every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
There's one of the key sound bites from the Biden-Trump debate back in June 27th of this year, and it was one of my top two, Kim. It actually came in at number two as I ranked the biggest stories of this year. Trump being shot was number one.
Same.
The president being shot on July 13th, so less than, 2 weeks after that debate, it was my top story of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, in hindsight, that's probably what led to the third biggest story of the year, which was Donald Trump getting reelected. It's weird to say that was the third biggest story, but all of that led into that. The debate lifted the curtain back, in my opinion, on just how demented Joe Biden is. I mean, he clearly has dementia of some sort. I think everyone's acknowledged that now, even Jan Crawford over at CBS. And then, of course, he's forced to drop out of the race. All of the calls of Hitler and Orange Man bad lead some nut job to climb up on a roof and take a shot at him at a speech in Butler, Pennsylvania, 2 weeks later. And I think Americans saw through it. I think they woke up at that point and realized they're trying to kill him. They haven't figured out any other way to prevent him from being president again, so they want to kill him. What are they so afraid of? And we ask that question on this show and in conservative media. What are they so afraid of? And I do believe that attempt on his life changed the outcome of this election. When he pumped his fist into the air and he said, fight, with that blood trickling down the side of his face, not knowing if there was another shooter there trying to take another shot at him, it made Americans realize here's somebody who's willing to stand up and fight, and we need to turn out and support him in November, which led to his election. I truly believe that.
Oh, I agree. I think that made a lot of people who maybe questioned him, it made them join the Trump train, get on that train. You know, maybe this year for 2025, the Secret Service can set a New Year's resolution to learn how to deal with a sloped roof.
It's true. The gradient of that roof was the key factor there. So according to the woman who resigned in July from the Secret Service after making a stupid statement like that. Yes.
Farm animals can navigate a sloped roof. Many others can.
Shooters can navigate as well,
yeah. But not our Secret Service.
Yeah. It was pathetic. Also on my list, in no particular order, was Trump's conviction in New York in May on a charge nobody had ever been charged with or convicted of in the state of New York. Obviously, trumped up the same charge 34 different times to guarantee that Alvin Bragg got some sort of a conviction. And if you convicted him on one charge and the other 33 were exactly the same, why not convict him on 33 of 34 of them? And then you can say he's a 34-time convicted felon. It was lawfare. Always was, always will be. They may still try to get him on it when he leaves office in his 80s. They might still try to get him on that stupid trumped-up charge in New York. Some judge somewhere needs to throw that nonsense out, looking at Marshawn and the bias built into that. But that was another one of my big stories for this year.
The other ones I have that you haven't mentioned yet would be the Alaska Airlines plane. Remember the door flew off mid-flight. They had to make an emergency landing. And then all the other issues started happening, it seems like, with Boeing and issues they were finding on planes. In fact, I just saw one over the weekend. There were some issue that was reported. No one can explain why all these things kept happening. You know, how were all of these issues falling through the cracks? Hurricanes Helene and Milton. So Helene, September 26th, and then shortly after it was Milton, October 9th. And then remember how FEMA comes out, that FEMA was telling its crews, hey, if someone has a Trump sign in their yard, just go ahead and skip them.
Just avoid it. Because
just avoid them because they're going to be hostile.
Conflict.
Right. There might be conflict.
Yeah.
So that was another big one. I had the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. That was March 26th in Baltimore, killed 6 construction workers. And then the other one that I have that I know you probably did not have would be the fact that Diddy was arrested. I'm not a big Diddy fan, but I think that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Jay-Z was mentioned in one of the lawsuits. I mean, Diddy himself is facing more than 24 of them. I think some key names in Hollywood in 2025 are going to be named in more lawsuits and be brought down.
I think you're absolutely right. I think if the list ever comes out, we're going to be stunned. Is there a greater chance of the list coming out under a Trump DOJ? I don't know. I mean, some of that will be in discovery of the actual lawsuits. Some of that should come out. But it'll be earthshattering. I agree with you in terms of the impact. I could care less about Diddy, but
right.
All of the people that are surrounding him, the Epstein list is what needs to come out. I hope Kash Patel gets in there, and first thing he does is release that list. And here's the thing, and people got mad. My own wife got mad at me for making this argument. But in the case of what's his name? Matt Gaetz.
Oh, Matt Gaetz, yeah.
I am so disappointed that they released that ethics committee report. Not because I care about Matt Gaetz, but because he was never charged with any of that. No prosecutor. If you're accused of having sex with an underage child, people get charged with that all the time. For prostitution, and they go to jail for it. No prosecutor ever found enough evidence in a he said, she said kind of case there to prove that any of that happened. So basically, they've just slandered this guy to for the remainder of his life by releasing that ethics report from a committee that has no jurisdiction over him at all, only ever had any jurisdiction when he was in Congress, and clearly only did it for one reason, and that was to tar and feather him. And I disagree with their decision to do that. I think it was awful that he just has so many enemies up there that they just they took out their vengeance on him by releasing a bunch of hearsay and unproven evidence. Is all that it was. We're going to be back in just a minute.
I'm really humbled and honored to have President Trump's endorsement for Speaker again. He and I work so well together, so closely together, and we have a lot of big things to do. He recognizes that what we need right now, I think my colleagues recognize this as well, is a proven fighter and a true MAGA conservative, but also someone who can work with every single member of our very diverse House GOP so that we can get President Trump's priorities over the line. That's what's ahead of us. I think this could be the most consequential presidency and Congress of the modern era, because we have to fix everything, and it has to start on day one, so we can't waste any time.
Speaker Johnson there celebrating his endorsement by Donald Trump. And I know that's going to probably hack off quite a few people who wanted to see him gone, given the original continuing resolution nightmare that we faced a week and a half ago. I don't know. I'm interested to hear what other folks have to think about this. One of them would be former Missouri Senator John Lamping, whose opinion I respect deeply. John, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Mark and Kim. Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Great to have you on this morning. Thanks for giving us a little bit of time. What was your reaction when you heard that Trump was endorsing Johnson so he can maintain his speakership?
Well, the first thought was simply the fact that, you know, Trump has made a lot of decisions like this in his first term that didn't make any sense from kind of the MAGA perspective. I know, like, Steve Bannon world, they definitely don't like Speaker Johnson. And that's my greatest fear always is, you know, who's around the president and who's advising him. But I do think that the fact of the matter is that the House is really not a Republican House. Johnson didn't pass anything without more Democratic votes than Republican votes. And so the House is what the House is. And I think Trump just wants to get hit the ground running. Any type of battle that would take place in terms of ousting him and finding the next person would be the main story going into January 20th. And I think that Trump just wanted to move on and have something else more important be the main story.
Yeah, I heard somebody describe it as the sort of typical of the art of the deal, because Trump realizes that to get anything accomplished on January 20th, he needs this fight to be over quickly after the new Congress gets sworn in on the 3rd. They can't get anything done without a speaker. And I don't like Johnson necessarily for some of the decisions he's made, but I think it's going to be Donald Trump in control once he gets sworn in.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're obviously very excited about the fact that Trump is in office again, and
yes,
the alternative would have been just incredible and difficult for the country to ever overcome. But the fact of the matter is, the vast majority of what is going to get done is going to be through executive order and not the legislative process. We just don't have the people that make up the Republican majority. Way too many of them still don't like Trump and don't like this approach to government, this populist approach. So it'll be what's going to be. And, you know, I'm excited about the inauguration and what's going to happen. Heck, I'm excited for the executive orders. If that's all he does is write executive orders for 4 years, I can live with that.
We're rightfully celebrating that the Republicans have control of both the House and the Senate. And I just think about what we watched play out here in Missouri. You know, we have this supermajority, and yet we weren't able to get key things done like IP reform. So, yes, it's worth celebrating. But to your point, I think there's still going to be challenges that we might not be realizing are going to be at play this year.
Well, I'm excited for Missouri. There's an opportunity in Missouri we have not had for quite some time. The Parson six years as governor, he was simply a caretaker. He didn't have any type of bold agenda. He played very safe as a governor. And to the extent that Kehoe has put himself out there as someone who's willing to work to eliminate the income tax, that's an extreme game changer for the state. It will take tremendous energy and effort on his part. There are a lot of people, I would say, even a majority of the legislators in the Republican Party will be against this ultimately, because some constituency will be negatively impacted by or potentially negatively impacted by the loss of revenue in their minds. To do things like eliminate the asset tax, that puts the burden back on local governments. To eliminate the income tax, it scares the heck out of governmental agencies, and in particular the education establishment. And to the extent that Kehoe is going to take a big political risk and put political capital behind this, I'm excited about what could happen in Missouri more than I've been in quite some time.
Yeah, I'm going to get an opportunity on the 8th when the session opens to interview the incoming governor and the lieutenant governor and some of the leadership up there. What would your big question be for Governor Kehoe, John?
What obstacles do you think you have to overcome to eliminate the income tax? And do you think what's your plan? He won't divulge his plan. I think whatever he'll want to talk about everything. He'll want to talk about safety, and we'll talk about fixing St. Louis, the crime, and building roads. Those are all fine and dandy. Those are all things that whoever's in office should be taking care of day in, day out. I would focus completely on the elimination of the income tax. How's that going to work? If you build the coalitions, who's your leader? Who's leading the charge in the Senate? Who's leading the charge in the House? What are the obstacles to overcome? What's your timeline? I just think that if it gets to be very difficult, it's going to be very, very difficult. If it's not the primary focus, it's just human nature. He could let it slip. He could just say, well, this will be a 2-year challenge. It won't get done the first year. Maybe we'll get it done the second year, or maybe it's the second term. I mean, all those excuses, we don't want to hear those things. We want to hear are you using all your political capital to eliminate the income tax? And that's the only thing he could do
yes.
during his time in office that will separate him from all the other governors that have come before him.
I think it's a great point.
Do you have any predictions for this incoming year, or at least hopes for it, John, in terms of what the legislature might do beyond trying to do something with the state income tax?
No, that's my primary focus. I think in terms of like top news stories in Missouri, I think that the passage of Amendment 3 and the opening up abortion completely in this state, that's the biggest news story for me in the state of Missouri. And I don't think there's anything they can do in 2025 other than get ready the ballot initiatives. I'm of the opinion they should just have a ballot initiative that says, you know, is an unborn child a person, and then put that on the ballot in 2026.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a long road back. If you have too many balls in the air in Jefferson City, it's most likely that they all fall to the ground. If we focus just on the one most important one, elimination of the income tax, then there's the probability of success is far greater.
That's a great point. John Lamping, Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you.
Same to you all. Take care.
Yep, we'll talk soon. Former Missouri Senator John Lamping, it's a good point. The more things they're working with, the fewer tend to actually get accomplished. Why don't we just set one? I know there have been hundreds of bills pre-filed, some of them dealing with Amendment 3. But we'll talk more, obviously, about that with the legislators, the ones who will be in charge once January 8th gets here and the new session gets gaveled in down in Jeff City. We'll take the show live down there that day for sure. Coming up, we'll get to In Other News with Ethan in just a minute or two. Next hour, we're going to talk to Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio, get his take on of what might be in 2025. We'll be right back.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
The investigation into the death of British singer Liam Payne, which happened in Argentina, they have charged 5 individuals now for real. 2 hotel staff members have been charged with manslaughter. The singer's traveling companion faces manslaughter charges. Also, and 2 other individuals have been charged with supplying drugs to the singer with potential sentences of 4 to 15 years just for those 2.
Wow. What do they think their role was in it? Like bringing him the drugs, pushing him off? What do they think happened?
2 of the hotel staff members that were charged, one is accused of leading others to move the singer to his room shortly after or just shortly before his death. So I think he was like just out of his mind and these 2 took him back up to their room.
Where he jumped.
And that's where they locked him in. The other ones, his travel companion, they said he abandoned the singer despite knowing about his intoxication. So they're charging him with just leaving the guy there.
Where's personal responsibility in all this? I mean, these people did what they thought they needed to do to protect him by taking him to his room. I guess not. Wow.
And then the other 2 are charged. They're the ones that actually supplied
the drugs. I can see that.
The drugs.
Wow. Like somebody's drunk out of their mind and you take them and put them in bed and then they're dead the next morning. Are you responsible for that? No.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's still up and he jumps out the window or falls or whatever.
He was trying to escape.
They had no way of knowing he was
going to
do it.
No, they had 0
way. Maybe that's what he was trying to do, is get out of his room and when he fell. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see the 2 guys that gave him the cocaine or whatever he was on, maybe.
The mixture of drugs.
They should be charged, but...
Yeah. Wow.
The Wicked movie, it's available for purchase today on streaming platforms.
Mark? There you go. How about that, Sue?
Yay.
So Mark can watch it at home now.
Yeah.
Or buy it for his daughter and then turn it on for your wife and then mysteriously leave the room.
Me and Elphaba and Glinda are like that.
Yeah, you are.
If you're looking to see where you can get it on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. It's going to run you about $30 to actually purchase, although there are rental options available. If you want an actual physical copy of it, you're going to have to wait till February 4th. And this is still all crazy because it's still out in theaters. So,
I don't know. Kim, are you interested in seeing
No.
Kim's not looking good over here.
At home?
No.
Poor thing is not feeling well.
Maybe. Not in the theater. I wouldn't pay.
You'd pay at home.
Yeah.
Well, she's not paying $30 at home.
No, she'd rent it for like $6.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We just paid for Gladiator 2, $20.
Did you? Was it good?
Oh.
It was good, but not as good as the first.
Wow, no. Okay. All
but
right.
You watched the first one to prepare for Gladiator 2.
It did.
Is it a worthy sequel?
It's worth seeing, I guess, but it's just not as good as the first.
And there Denzel's
But
fantastic.
Most sequels are not.
Yeah.
Denzel's fantastic.
He's a good actor in it. Denzel, he's a bad guy. Lost. He's a bad guy in it, but he's a
he's
good actor.
He's fantastic in everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
A TikTok prankster was arrested for allegedly spraying bug killer on food at Walmart in Mesa, Arizona. Police charged the 27-year-old with felony poisoning, misdemeanor, criminal damage, endangerment, and theft. The incident occurred on December 19th when the suspect filmed himself spraying pesticides on produce and prepared foods such as rotisserie chickens and later posted the video online.
How
good.
Stupid are you?
It's good they're dumb.
Yeah.
It's good. It's
I
good.
Know, right? Good.
Yeah, their stupidity helps us catch them sometimes.
Yes.
Speaking of social media, the year of 2024 was packed with unforgettable pop culture moments, from dramatic celebrity sagas to viral social trends. Highlights include Taylor Swift closing the era, the Drake-Kendrick feud, and Chappelle Rayon's rise. Social media was also dominated by TikTok sensations like Who Did I Marry? I won't say the other words. Four Seasons Baby, and debates like Man or Bear, touching on deeper social issues.
Man or Bear? What's that one about?
I don't
Never
know.
Never heard of it.
Huh.
Man or Bear? Like, as opposed to like Bear Grylls or the animal?
These are just the trends on TikTok, which I'm not on.
I thought the pygmy hippo was a big thing on TikTok.
It was a big one. They're still trying to name that thing, aren't they?
I'm so glad I'm not on TikTok since it's about to get banned anyway.
Oh, yeah,
but go ahead.
Now, Trump said he wants to keep it. Because it was so instrumental in his campaign, probably.
I don't know.
You guys, I just looked it up. Man or Bear is a viral social media debate that asks women if they would rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear.
Oh, I do remember hearing about that.
If you choose the bear, you deserve everything that you get after that moment.
What if it's Yogi Bear?
Oh, well.
Or Smokey the Bear.
Smokey Bear.
As Americans gear up to focus on fitness and health in the new year, experts share key tips for getting in shape. Nearly a third of adults plan to diet or lose weight. And fitness tops New Year's resolutions for 48 people. The Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans emphasizes that even small amounts of movement contribute to overall health, and experts advise choosing activities you enjoy to build sustainable habits, with cardio supporting health, heart health, and weight training boosting metabolism and bone density.
So. I never have to run again. Did you hear that? Because you're supposed to choose things
move.
You enjoy.
Mm-hmm. They do say weightlifting is actually more effective than if you're just doing straight cardio.
If you're
cardio.
Trying to
if
lose
you're trying
weight.
To cut, yeah. Burn,
or
cut
biking
back.
Like Sue Thomas does all the time, right?
Yay.
Yay.
Round is a shape, I just want to say.
Then I am in shape. Jeez,
I eat because I'm unhappy, and I'm unhappy because I eat.
I got to tell you, I am trying to get an interview a little later in the show with Kelly Siberi from Fox Business. She's reporting this morning on fish-free seafood. Like, we've heard of lab-grown meats. Now there's a trend in the U.S. to grow fish in a lab, but it's not really fish that they're growing. It's like
it's tofu.
Something else.
That's gross.
And I just can't believe it. So I requested an interview with her. We'll see if we get her for later in the show.
And I got one more quick one. Several Paris 2024 Olympians have raised concerns about the quality of their bronze medals, noting that they are losing their luster just months after the games. If you go online, you can see these. They look like they went through like a washing machine
they're,
or something.
They're
like they're
bad.
Just falling apart.
Just cheap. Like they
probably.
Cut corners somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, bronze doesn't.
Maybe they did the quarter machine at like the one of the.
Maybe.
Silver Dollar City or Six Flags.
Yeah.
Think of all the money they saved. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio with more on that speaker battle. And my friend Mark Walters from Armed American Radio, looking forward to January 20th. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.